Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
That maybe I've said enough about what's going on in the church today. I think in many ways I have, but everybody hasn't seen those videos. And unfortunately, things keep happening that raise big questions in people's minds. And people are asking me, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Now, I don't think I should comment on everything that's going on in the church and the world, but every now and then the pattern gets clear again. And even though it's subtle, even though it's sophisticated, the agenda is really clear. And so I do want to talk about some things that have happened recently, both good and bad, and where things seem to still be heading. Well, what almost got me to do this video was an interview that Cardinal Grech gave to a Swiss newspaper when he was visiting Switzerland. Cardinal Grech is from Malta, and he's the general secretary of the Synod on Synodality. And the Synod on Synodality, you probably heard about it. You may not completely be clear about what it is. A lot of people aren't. It's a multi-year process by which the church is going to develop a new way of being, a new way of listening, a new way of encouraging diversity and multiple voices. And the first session was held last October 2023. And supposedly the final session was going to be this coming October 2024. But one of the things that Cardinal Grech just announced is that the Pope wants to continue this process beyond the next session of the Synod and establish 10 study groups that will continue to explore diversity and development and other things in lots of hot-button areas. And those now are supposed to be finished in 2025, but we'll see. So what we're really seeing is the extension of a process that seems like it's after certain conclusions that it can't successfully get in the official sessions of the Synod. And one of the indications of this is that after the Synod finished its October 2023 session, Cardinal Fernandez and the Pope went ahead and issued the document on same-sex blessings that totally undermined the whole synodal process. That was one of the issues that came up in the first session of the Synod. But rather than waiting for the second session of the Synod, it looks to me like folks in Rome felt like we're not going to get what we want in the Synod, so let's just publish the document right now under the authority of the Pope. Of course, the African bishops noticed what a violation this was of the whole theory of synodality, and almost every single African bishops' conference, as you know, have said, we're not going to do this here in Africa. Now, the Pope and his associates are saying, well, they're refusing to do these same-sex blessings because of cultural reasons. Pope Francis even made what I consider the insulting comment that the Africans think that this kind of thing is bad in their culture. That's not what the Africans said. Indeed, it is considered to be bad and ugly in their culture. But the first part of their document was saying, this is a violation of the Word of God. You know, I did a whole video on this. I'm not going to get into it too much here, but they quoted the scripture that says, this is an abomination. This is a grave sin. People who persist in this will go to hell. The people who reject Jesus are going to experience the same punishment as came to Sodom when it was condemned by God and judged by God. Anyway, the African bishops are basing their concern on the basis of God's word. And because African culture also supports that value, they said it's against our culture. And many African Catholics were up in arms when they heard about this document. And the African bishops have kind of reassured them that, no, we're not changing what God has revealed to us about this. However, a lot of the Europeans, and a lot of people in Rome, are looking at the Africans as backward. You know, Cardinal Seurat just came out with another article recently saying, thank God that the African bishops are doing what they're doing, because what's coming from Europe is intellectual colonialism. It's another form of the West imposing their values on another culture. And, you know, anyway, we got a real problem, and it's continuing to go on. And Cardinal Grech is basically saying that the process is going to go on maybe until they get what they want. Now, what do they want? They want to normalize homosexuality in the church to one degree or another as much as they can get. Now, this leads us to another document that just got published called The Infinite Dignity. It's called Infinite Dignity, and it's talking about the infinite dignity of every human being, and it does some really good things. You know, it reaffirms the truth of Catholic teaching on abortion and euthanasia. It comes out clearly, if not very strongly, on that we can't kind of agree that changing one's gender from one's biological sex is a good thing. It comes out against gender theory and things like that, which is really, really good. Thanks be to God. But the thing that a lot of people don't notice is that we were a little worried about what was going to come out, because there's so much fudging on so many of these issues. So thank God that in this document, those things are clearly affirmed. Now, one thing that nothing is said about in that document is the issue of homosexuality. But when Cardinal Fernandez presented the document and answered questions about it, he said that, well, nothing can be compared to the beauty of love between a husband and wife. That's the most beautiful love, which left the door open that maybe this other lesser forms of beautiful love. And when he was asked the question about whether there's any thought about changing the catechism, which says that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered, which both reason and revelation make very, very clear, he said, well, maybe we could find a better way of expressing what we really mean. And what we really mean now seems to be a little bit in play. And the document of Infinite Dignity seems to kind of leave the door open for, even though, well, marriage can't be compared to anything else, it's the most beautiful love, that maybe there's other forms of beautiful love. So I think that the door is being left open in that document. Another concern I have with the document, although I don't want to take away from the good things it does, is that it cites the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights as kind of being in the same ballpark about what we're talking about. And this has been a continual kind of emphasis or theme for a number of years in Rome, where we want to be friends with the United Nations. We want to participate in their endeavors. We want to affirm their goals in different ways. And this is a little crazy, because despite what the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights says, the United Nations is clearly interpreting that everybody has a right to abortion, that everybody has a right to gender transition, that everybody has a right to euthanasia, everybody has a right to create their own morality, basically. And so it's a little strange that we're attaching our train to the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. So that's a problem. Now, one of the other things that Cardinal Grech said is that we don't really need to have a unity of thought. We can have a unity of differences. Now, sure, there can be diversity with a fundamental unity. That's what we have already in the very many cultures in the Catholic Church, and perhaps that can be expressed even more fully. But how can we have a unity and diversity if we don't have a common body of truth that we all agree to, even though we may express it differently in liturgical styles and things like that? And so when Cardinal Grech is saying that we need to have no longer a diversity of thought, no longer a unity of thought, but a unity of diversity. Yeah, that's theoretically possible. But then he says what he'd like to see is a rainbow church with all the different colors of diversity represented in it. And as we know, the rainbow has been kind of hijacked by the LGBTQ agenda. And it's actually a symbol of rebellion against God in the area of sexual morality, which is even a deeper rebellion because it's a rebellion against the authority of God. So, you know, if you go down the streets of Ann Arbor, Michigan, First Presbyterian Church, First Methodist Church, First Baptist Church, the gay flag is flying. And recently, Father Jerry Pogarski, a wonderful priest from the Diocese of Alexandria, Virginia, wrote an article. He said, that flag is the flag of a new religion. And it really is. It's a new religion. And there's people in the Catholic Church that want to accept that new religion and somehow say it's compatible with the faith, and it just isn't. We need to accept everybody. We need to welcome everybody, but we need to welcome them to the faith. We need to welcome them to the true church. We need to welcome them to the real Jesus. We need to welcome them to repentance, to faith, to conversion, to turning away from dark deeds, from accepting the light of Christ about the true meaning of human sexuality. Now, Pope Francis has also recently published a biography. Somebody's done a biography, and he talks a lot about what he really believes and what he really thinks. And of course, it doesn't have any magisterial standing. But one of the things there he said is that homosexual couples should have, you know, access to legal protection, and they should be able to, quote, live the gift of love. Now, that sounds like a very positive description of homosexual relationships. It's a little bit like the door that was left open in the infinite dignity doctrine about, well, nothing can compare to the beauty of love in a heterosexual marriage. But hey, maybe there's other kinds of beauties that we can accept. And that's certainly something clearly that was said by Pope Francis in his biography. Now, not only that, but there's just almost like a chorus of people saying something similar like that at all levels of the church. There's something like a campaign going on. There really is. Recently, the vice president of the Italian Bishops' Conference, Bishop Savino, who's also a consultor in one of the Vatican dicasteries, wrote a preface for a book called The Way of the Cross of a Gay Boy. And what it is it's a very sympathetic portrait of gay relationships, and indeed the suffering that comes from that. But this is what the bishop said. The synodal reflection on the family, crowned by the apostolic exhortation Amoris Laetitia of Pope Francis, which we've spoken about, pushed the church to emerge more courageously from itself and its own customs to embrace reality, the flesh and blood of lives called to the joy of love. Here we go again. It's one of the most embodied joys of existence, and everyone has their own wonderful and tormented path with which to expose themselves to the intimacy of other lives. It sure seems like it's regularizing homosexual relationships and under the joy of love. And then he goes on to say, we have a profoundly evolving understanding of sexuality, much richer, freer, and more open than was given in traditional societies. How about what's been given in the Word of God? Yeah. Often, as an ecclesial community, we run the risk of fearing rather than welcoming whatever good can emerge from the relationships between people with their own and other people's corporality, bodiliness. This book leads us to taste the faith of those whom the church has often dismissed as public sinners, denied sacraments, ministries, and above all, voice, name, visibility. And how many pronouncements and how many communities and how many homes have we made the children loved by God feel wrong? Golly, it's too bad that people feel wrong if they're not doing wrong, but if they're doing wrong, they should actually feel wrong. What are we supposed to be doing as a church? Telling everybody they're okay, whatever they're doing is okay? No, it's crazy, but it really looks like that's the agenda. I mean, this guy is really a high-ranking bishop. He's the vice president of the Italian Bishops Conference. He's a consultant at the Vatican offices, and he's saying junk like this. And that's what people are saying. We have a profoundly evolving understanding of sexuality, much richer, freer, more open than was given in traditional societies. What's lacking in so many of these documents is it's a focus on God and His Word. What's lacking even in the, you know, this good document of infinite value, and, you know, people are raising legitimate questions saying, you know, infinite dignity, isn't that only something that God has and we in a derivative way have it, and it only depends on God's infinite value and we're not really infinite value in ourselves? So that's another debate, but it's a legitimate debate. But in this document, the whole thing is based on philosophy, evolving understandings, some tradition. Maybe there's only one word given to sin in the whole document. And what we're really lacking is anything like a bold, clear, courageous, confident restatement of the truth about these issues. These things are not just violations of human rights. These things are profoundly offensive to God, and they're grave sins. And people need to repent from them if they're going to be saved. And the whole perspective of salvation just isn't there. The whole perspective of eternal consequences just isn't there. And I just would like to hear the word of God spoken today from Rome like we hear it in the voices of the apostles. Like Peter in the day of Pentecost, save yourself from this wicked generation. Look what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Look at the sacrifice. Look at His resurrection from the dead. Look at the Holy Spirit being poured out. And it says the people are cut to the heart because they heard anointed preaching. They heard authoritative proclamation, and they were cut to the heart. And they said, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Where are we going to call the world to conversion rather than affirming that we like the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, you know? I mean, there's a place for that lower level discourse, but where's the gospel? Where's the Bible? Where's the Word of God? Where's the voice of the apostles again calling the world to look at Jesus and believe in Him and repent? Or perish. Oh, well. Tough stuff. However, it's not just happening in Rome. It's happening all over the world. It's happening in local parishes. Listen to this email we just got. Thank you for your message this week. This is a message that Peter did. Every other week, Peter and I alternate doing a YouTube message. And if you're finding them of value, I'd like to ask you to subscribe. You know, you click on the subscribe button, you click on the notification button. That helps. It gets out to more people. You'll be reminded when a new video is posted. It says, thank you for your message this week on the key points about what we should be doing during Lent. I was in New York City last week and went to St. Francis Catholic Church in Midtown across the street from Madison Square Garden. I was disappointed to see that the Lenten focus was on the environment. The bulletin highlighted these 40 forks of Lent. Now, I know that sounds a little strange. What does that mean? Well, it means giving up plastic forks. That's what it means. The Lenten discipline was giving up using plastic forks. I see that many churches have lost their way because their priority is not following Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. at a time when the brazen, bold, demonic behavior took place at St. Patrick's Cathedral, we also have these types of things happening at churches. So many churches are not preaching the gospel about sin, repentance, and redemption, giving glory to God, and working for the salvation of souls. Thank you and the team at Renewal Ministries for all you have done and continue to do in proclaiming the truth and promises of Christ that are for today and all eternity. We can't do anything else. The Lord's called us to do it. You know, woe to us if we don't preach the gospel. But I do want to say that we need your help to continue preaching the gospel. You know, we're reaching out to high school boys and girls. We're reaching out to 30 or 40 countries around the world. We're doing a weekly television program, the longest running Catholic television program on EWTN. We're doing two daily radio programs, and all that costs money. And the Lord's providing, but he's providing through people like you who appreciate what we're doing, who know that it's needed today, who know that this voice needs to be heard more. So if you're able to, please consider becoming a partner. It's just giving a regular monthly donation, you know, electronically, and it's easy, and it's, you can stop it at any time. But we appreciate that you appreciate what we're doing. And in order to keep doing it, we really need your support. So please consider being a partner. Please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel so you can stay in touch with what the Lord's giving us to teach and preach. Amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.